looking for Jan. He must have gone downstairs. Is he back there somewhere? Oh, he went out. He's got Jimsy on the phone.
Yeah.
He's got the video where he can see her, talk to her, stuff. So I had the privilege of waving to her. I was going to have everyone say hi to her, but she's not in here on the phone. So. And I was also noticing that, Jaron, is that the very first time you've given out the deep, deep love of Jesus? I think that's your favorite song, isn't it?
Random.
Every week that you leave. And you know what? It's a great song. I love it, so keep it up. Let's see, there was something else I was going to say, but maybe I should get myself in trouble here. Okay, another thought that comes to my mind is really enjoyed the worship meeting this morning. And I wish I could say I enjoyed everyone ecstatically. And there's times I come here and I'm not prepared in my heart the way I should be. And so what happens is I don't enjoy the worship service as much as God wants me to. And sometimes I'm tired from the things I did the night before or whatever. But I came this morning extremely exercised, and I got so much out of the meeting this morning. I just appreciate everyone that took part. It was fantastic. I loved it, and it's great to fellowship with the saints. I mean, for the past two Sundays, I haven't fellowshiped with the people of God here, and it's just wonderful to be here and worship with you folks and spend time with God and the people of God. And, thanks, Nathan, for the word earlier. Appreciate that. So, we're going to look at Judges chapter 6. I know that's a surprise to everybody, since this is the third time I'll be on it. And before we start, there's a verse that is really pertinent to the book of Judges as we go into it. And it's found, you don't have to turn to it, but it's close by. It's found in Joshua 24 and verse 23. It says, "Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." King James says, "Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And that's my exercise, is that we incline or yield our hearts to the Lord. We can go through life and we can be busy and we can be involved in... No, I guess I should have it closer. We can be involved in things. But you know, if our heart isn't right, what good is it all? If we're not in tune with the Lord, we're away from the Lord. You might say I'm being kind of harsh, and I don't mean to be harsh, but there's lots of times in my life when my heart isn't right with God. And Joshua is saying, get rid of everything else that doesn't matter. Things that you hold on to and you put before the Lord. Get rid of those things. Throw them out. Get your heart right with God. And so when I look at my life, I know there are things in my life that I don't have to have, that they don't need to be there. They take up time. They consume me. And therefore, when I'm consumed with those things instead of the Lord, I'm putting those things before God. Joshua says, get rid of those things. Yield your heart to the Lord. In the past, we've looked at the background. I'll try to quickly go over these again. Won't be as in-depth as the last review. But in verses 1 to 6 in Judges chapter 6, we see God's purpose. And the background is the cycle. There's sin. Now, you might look at this and say, okay, well, the children of Israel sinned. This is all about the children of Israel. You want to know something? The example that we have here and throughout the book of Judges is exactly the way we are as human beings today. So when you look at them, don't condemn them. Look at how it applies to your own life, how it applies to my life. Because it's so often, it's so easy for us to look and say, yeah, those people, they really need to straighten up. And yet, in my own life, I need to straighten up. And so we have the situation of sin. Sin comes in. So what happens? Sin separates us from God. And that's what's happening to the children of Israel here. And that's what happens in our own lives. And a lot of times we don't recognize it for a long time. It took 7 years before they cried out to the Lord. It doesn't mean that they didn't recognize it, but it took 7 years before they got earnest with God and said, God, help us. We need to change. And so you have sin, you have separation, and that's when the supplication came in, when they prayed, after where they cried out to God. And then the sacrifice, the fact that God is merciful and God provides, and so the sacrifice of Christ was made for us when we sin and we are separated from God in our fellowship with Him. Not separated because as Christians, we're not going to go to hell. But our relationship with God is not what it should be. Our fellowship with God is damaged because of sin when we don't confess it. And so there's sin, there's separation, there's supplication when we pray and confess our sin, and the sacrifice of Christ comes in. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then, I used the word last time, but Brother Dave, he was here. He said, why don't you use the word serenity? There's a peace. There's a calm. There's a clearness. Serenity. And that's what happens with the children of Israel, and that's what happens in our life. So, first of all, as believers, we need to realize that there's a problem in our lives, and maybe problems, and maybe things. And secondly, we need to recognize what the problem is. It's one thing to say, yeah, I've got a problem. I know, I got issues here and I'm not close to the Lord. But we need to recognize what that problem is. And then we need to repent and make a commitment to God that we're going to change, that we're no longer going to carry on in that way or in that attitude or doing those things. And then there's prayer, requisition for God's help. That's what they did here. It wasn't until they requested God's help, when they cried out with all their being and all their heart, that God stepped in. And then there's the removal of the problem by God's power and restoration of fellowship with God. That's the serenity. Restoration, the fellowship with God. In verses 7 to 10, which we've already looked at, is God's prophet. The reasons for God's judgment. He says this, I'll just look at verse 8. When the prophet is sent, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's salvation. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of the oppressors. So he's redeemed them and he's provided for them. And I drove them from before you and gave you their land. He's given them blessings that they didn't even deserve. But he drove these people out and he gave them their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. And then he gives this warning. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. Okay, so how do we turn that to today? Are we following, are we pursuing the things of this world? Are we wanting so much of this world that we're putting it before God? Do we have desires for things we shouldn't have desires for? Are we putting those desires, our wants, not our needs, our wants before God? So he says this, in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. I fall into that category. I'm sorry. When I was reading some of these commentators, I thought they were really hard on Gideon. And I thought, wow, I'm a lot like Gideon in a lot of ways. And those people that were making these commentaries, some of them were really good, but some of them I felt were very harsh. And I thought, wow, are they without sin? Because when I read this, I see me. Sin. Separation. Supplication. Sacrifice. Serenity. Sin. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Now, we're going to look at verses 11 down to verse 16. And if we go further, that's great. But we have here God's presence. Part 1, God's plan. verses 11 to 16, we have God's presence. I have part one and part two. Part one is God's plan. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged, and that's not Ophrah Winfrey, by the way, that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. So, right away, the people pray. God sends them a prophet. He tells them why they're going through what they're going through. And then the angel of the Lord comes. God comes to where Gideon is at. It's interesting that, you know, we don't find Gideon on his knees praying. What's he doing? He is trying to provide for his family. He is working. He's not sitting idle. He's not saying, woe is me. This is terrible what's happening to us. This man is out there diligently trying to provide food. And what's really sad is the fact that because of the enemies coming all the time and they've got the children of Israel have to be in hiding, here's Gideon in a wine press, okay? So it's got sides. And in a wine press, you put the grapes and they walk on them and everything to make their wine. And eventually it turns into wine. The grape juice turns into wine. But Gideon, in threshing wheat, he should be out on a threshing floor where the wind blows and you're throwing the wheat up in the air and the chaff blows away because of the wind and then the wheat falls down that you keep. That's not the case. This guy's in hiding. There's sides. No wind. And he's trying to separate the chaff from the wheat. Probably 10, 15, 20 times harder. Maybe more. And take a lot longer. But I look at Gideon and I say, I'm glad to see him working. But you know, he's going through what you and I go through. We have to provide and we go through daily life. And from day to day, we just kind of focus on getting things done. We get things done, get things done. Okay, I've got this to accomplish today. My job requires me to get this done by the end of the week. And so you focus on those things. And a lot of times, we leave God out of the picture. Now, I'm not saying that was necessarily the case with Gideon, but I'm looking at my own life and saying, a lot of times, Lord, I make things a lot harder on myself because I'm not focused on you. What I really enjoy, this might sound strange to you, I've really enjoyed the Lord. I enjoy the Lord quite often, but this week, driving. I had to do some driving. Yesterday, I spent three and a half hours in my truck driving and stuff. And I love to be able to talk to the Lord and worship the Lord while I'm driving. So you might say, well, no, you're supposed to come here and worship the Lord. No, there's a couple of ways you can look at worship. There's the corporate worship when you come together, but there's also the individual worship. And that individual worship can happen all the time, anytime. And there's two different kinds of worship. Some is prepared worship, which some of the brothers that come here this morning, maybe most of them, had prepared throughout the week. God had prepared in their heart to worship. And the sisters too. Hopefully you're spending time in the Word and spending time with the Lord so that your heart is prepared so that when the brothers give out their prepared worship, we can all worship the Lord together. But there's also spontaneous worship where somebody will say something and God will just bring a thought to your mind and so you worship the Lord spontaneously. And I mean, that can happen even while, again, while you're driving. Usually you don't prepare your worship while you're driving, right? But God can bring thoughts to your mind. And what I really like about worship is worship isn't ours to begin with. The worship is what God has given to us. All we're doing is simply giving it back to Him. He has blessed us and encouraged us and strengthened us and given us the joy of knowing things about Him that we can express back to God. Because if it wasn't for His Word, and if it wasn't for His Spirit, and if it wasn't for His work, we wouldn't have any worship at all. So it's all His to begin with. But it's great to be able to have that worship in your heart and give it back to the Lord and in a corporate setting like this here. It's not where I wanted to go with that, but anyways, it's fine. But in verse 11 here, it's interesting that it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down. Like, I guess maybe I'm just a little more anxious sometimes. Like, things got to get done, you know? But with the Lord, He's patient. He's gentle. He's not in any hurry. It's going to get done. It's going to get done in His time, in his way. But if it was me, it's like, okay, Gideon, I'm here. Hey, man, let's get this together here. You're the man I've chosen. Let's move on. Let's get this done. The angel of the Lord came and he sat down. Wow. It just teaches me more about God and more about who we are trying to be like. Sometimes I have a lot of patience and sometimes I have none. And I don't want to pray for patience, I'll tell you. I've done that in my life before. And it's a tough go sometimes. So I'd like for the Lord to just deal gently with me, and I don't know about you, but I'm sure we all want the Lord to just gently give us patience. But I remember one brother that said he always heard that adversity brought on a lot of characteristics that God is trying to teach us. And he prayed that he wouldn't go through adversity. And it wasn't until he went through adversity that he realized what God was teaching him, different things. And you know, sometimes we got to go through that adversity. And that's what's happening to the children of Israel here. Adversity came to teach. We don't like adversity. I don't like adversity. I just wish everything would go smooth. But you know what? God uses that adversity to teach us, to draw us closer to him. And so here he is, the Lord's sitting down, and he's watching Gideon. And Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I got a few notes here, so I gotta stay with the notes here. I should stay with the notes. I don't stay with my notes. That's my problem. So the Lord makes himself visible. He makes himself known, not necessarily as the Lord, but as an angel of the Lord. And I'm not even sure Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord at this time. But he sees somebody and he hears somebody, and the man says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And so when the Lord makes himself known, he speaks positive words and he's not critical. Now, it would have been easy, and it is easy for me to criticize. I don't know about you folks, but it's easier for me to criticize than to be positive. And so I have a constant struggle to be positive. I am consciously aware that I have a problem of criticism. And so I'm constantly conscious, can you say that real fast? Constantly conscious of I need to be positive. Can you imagine if the angel of the Lord had said, "Gideon, what are you doing? Man, you're a failure. You should be out there fighting a battle. But now you're in here doing this, and this is ridiculous, the place you're doing it and the way you're doing it." And he didn't do that. The Lord was encouraging. The Lord was strengthening. The Lord built him up, and he says, "Hey, thou mighty man of valor," or "thou mighty warrior." Depends on the version you have. The version you have. He builds him up. And I'm sure at that point, Gideon's probably thinking, "Somebody else here? Me? Talking to me? A mighty warrior? The Lord is with me? You gotta be kidding. Who are you? You're out of touch." I don't know what went through Gideon's mind, but obviously he didn't look at himself that way. I mean, I'm threshing wheat, I'm trying to provide, I'm hiding. What are you talking about? Verse 13, Gideon responds, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." You know, Gideon is human, obviously. Sometimes when we look at these men and what they did, we put them on a pedestal. They were amazing people. They never had any problems. They just led the people of God and things were wonderful for them. This shows you right here, they're just like us. They got problems. They got issues. They got adversities. They got things to deal with that they don't want to deal with. And you would think that Gideon would say, "Oh, thank you. maybe I am a pretty good guy after all, you know? Because when somebody really puffs you up, or Lord's not puffing them up, but saying some positive things about them, next thing you know, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But Gideon's response is, if the Lord is with us, why is this happening to us? You ever been there? You ever said, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? This happened. I can't take anymore. You want to know something? I've been there. You know, I was just talking to my wife on the way down here. It's just over 4 years ago when she had her cancer operation. Thank God she's still here. When you get to a point like that in your life, nothing else matters. The Lord matters, and your family matters, and the people of God matter. But who cares about what kind of house you got, what kind of car you drive, what job you have? You don't even care if income comes in. You don't care about anything, because your loved one, you're about to lose, possibly, except for the grace and mercy of God. You start putting things in their proper perspective. The Lord first, your wife second, your family third, the people of God as well. The rest of it, it's important at certain times, but when it comes to an issue like that, it's not important. And so here's Gideon. He's looking and he's saying, oh boy. I don't think Gideon realized at this point again who he was talking to, because he kind of is a little disrespectful. And I know for me, when I'm in the middle of doing a job and I'm working hard and I'm really focused, and somebody comes up and says something to me, and if I'm frustrated at what I'm doing, it's really hard for me to watch my mouth. Because I'm already upset, I'm already frustrated, things aren't going right, and somebody comes up and asks a question that isn't pertinent to anything I feel is important at that time. And so my response isn't as gracious as what it should be. And I think that's Gideon's situation here. And what's interesting is he questions God. Where's the Lord? Why is this happening to me? He doesn't just question God, but he blames him. He blames God. Have you ever done that? You ever said, God, this is your fault? God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't think it's fair. I don't think I should have to go through this. I got too much on my plate already. You know, maybe some of you folks have never gone through anything like that. Sad to say, I have done that. I've questioned God. God, why are you letting me go through this? Why me? Gideon says, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. This is God's fault. We're being punished because God did this to us. God put us here. You know what? That was 100% wrong. 100% wrong. But Gideon's frustrated. Gideon's hurt. And what I like about this, well, first of all, before I get to that part, he says, but now the Lord has abandoned us. Have you ever felt abandoned? You ever feel like the Lord's not with you? Like you're doing something, you're headed in a certain direction, and you're getting bombarded and trials, and it just seems like they're endless. You're like, God, where are you? Where are you? I feel all alone. I feel like you're not helping me here. I feel like you've left me for a time. And you know, that's 100% wrong. It's 100% wrong. Because we're looking at ourselves. I'm not looking at the Lord. Lord, I know you can bring me through this. Lord, I know you are the most powerful, the most majestic, the most beautiful, the most amazing, the most awesome person ever. I know you can bring me through this. And with joy, and believe me, I don't always say that, but once in a while I have. With joy, I'm going to get through this because of you.
That's the right attitude. That's one of the right attitudes. But it's realizing who God is. God has allowed us to go through this. God is going to be with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As new believers, as believers in the New Testament era, that's us, who have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, who never leaves us. Can we grieve him? Yes. Can we quench him? Yes. But he never leaves us. He's always there. And God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will never be alone. You will never be abandoned. You will never be forsaken. You're going to go through some tough times? Yes. But you know what? I'm there with you. I will bring you through. And the way you want to go through it isn't necessarily my way. And the way you got to deal with problems isn't necessarily my way. I will get you through. It's trusting God. We can trust God when things are wonderful, when the job's going well and the income's pouring in and the family's all got good health, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're not really looking at the Lord like we should. And God says, hey, I need to draw you closer back to me. And he allows us some adversity to come in. But it's realizing that God is who he is in the blessings and in the adversities. He is who he is, and his purposes will be fulfilled. And I can tell you this. A brother told me this once about himself, and I never forgot it. I am simply a work of God, still in a working process. God has scaffolding all around me, built up all around me. I don't know if you know about buildings, and you build scaffolding to get up, you know, and redo things on the building or build things. And so you're up on these platforms, and the scaffolding's all around because it's still a lot of work that's got to be done. That's me. I got to have a lot of work still got to be done in my life. And that brother told me, he says, Bob, I am simply a structure with, and God's got all kinds of scaffolding around me. He's still working on me, and he's got a lot more to do. That's how I feel. And you know, I think that's probably where Gideon's at too. And so he feels here that God has abandoned him. But one thing I wanted to point out, it says, where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said blah, blah, blah. There's a very important principle right there. How did Gideon know about all the wonders from the past? The parents had told him. The parents told the children. The children told the children. The children told the children. The children told the children. As believers in Christ, we need to be teaching our children and telling our children about the work that God is doing in our lives, the blessings that God is doing for us. Our children need to see, our grandchildren need to see and be aware that God is working in our lives on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. If we don't talk to them about the Lord, if we don't teach them about the Lord, if we don't show that God is with us and God is moving in us and God is working with us, and we failed. And a lot of times, I think maybe the children don't respond the way they should. And I say that because I have children that haven't responded properly, to my shame. But I think a lot of it is when God was working in my life, and God was, let's say, blessing me. I didn't say, kids, look at this. This is from the Lord. And when God was doing a marvelous thing in a family, I don't recall saying to my children, this is all because of the work of the Lord. Now, did I teach my children about God? Yes, I did. Did I teach them principles? Yes. I was very strict with my kids. Unfortunately, I think I was a little too strict sometimes. Because I demanded obedience as a first response. And discipline was a first response, not a last resort. So I was strict with my kids. But when it came to expressing God working in our lives on a daily basis, I think I fell short. And so I want to encourage all of you guys. You know, even those of you who aren't married, like Nikki. Okay, you're not married yet, are you? Okay.
No, I don't remember being at your wedding, so. And Jay and Sonia and all of you. I want to encourage you guys to grasp that. That as you would have a family as God would see fit, and you guys here, show your kids how God is working every day in your life. Don't fail to show them God, period. Don't fail to show them that sometimes your faith is tested, but God's brought you through. God is working in our lives so that, when they grow up, they can say, hey, my parents told me about this happening in their lives. And they can pass it on. Grandpa, I remember Grandpa. This happened in his life. How do you know that? Because my parents told me. God was working. God was real. He wasn't some abstract thing that whenever they needed him, he was there. But he was there every day. Boy, I'm really getting bogged down here. Which is fine. It's interesting in verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Now, had that have been me, I would have said, Gideon, why are you talking to me that way? You're being very disrespectful. Do you know who I am? Well, the Lord didn't do that. And the Lord, and it's interesting that it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, by the way. I found that extremely interesting that several times, at first it says the angel of the Lord. And we can discuss the theophanies and Christophanies in a minute. But the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save your people. Save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? See, I still don't think Gideon realized who this was. But the Lord ignored Gideon's disrespect. The Lord ignored Gideon's bad response. The Lord looks at the heart. What I really like about this too is it says, and the Lord turned to him. The Lord turned to him and said, you see, that was a face-to-face. How more important can you get when the Lord turns to you, looks you in the eyes, and says, go. Go do it. I am sending you. You go do it. Because the Lord knew Gideon's heart. Although Gideon was frustrated, although there were challenges and upsets, deep down, God didn't choose this man because Gideon had a sour heart. Gideon had a heart for God and the things of God. God chose this man because he knew that this man will do what I ask. Yeah, he might have a lot of questions. Yeah, he might have a lot of doubts. He might have a lot of wonders. But this man will do what I'm asking him to do because I know his heart. He loves me. Has there ever been a time in your life when God has said to you, I want you to go do this. I want you to go talk to this person here. There's somebody who's sick. I want you to go visit that person. There's somebody that you work with that I want you to tell them the gospel next time you see them. I want you to, whatever it is. There's been times in my life that God, I distinctly maybe felt more than heard that God wants me to go do something. And there's sometimes I've done that and the blessing is amazing, and there's sometimes I didn't do it and I regret it and I beat myself up over it sometimes. Has there ever been a time in your life when God has said, go do this, and you hesitated? Gideon hesitated. But in the end, he went. He was obedient. And that's where we need to be with our hearts. If I was to read that verse again, well, basically, put away the strange gods from among you. and yield your hearts to the Lord, God of Israel. That is where we need to be. When God tells us to do something, do it. When God speaks to your heart in presenting the gospel, do it. Now, we'll get further on, and we'll see a little more about Gideon. I'm not going to bore you too much further, but this past week I spent, 2 weeks ago I spent time with a brother and sister who are extremely dear to my heart. And when I first moved down to the United States from Canada, this couple was my age, and or real close anyways. They're actually, he's actually older. He's way older. He's a couple years older. And wonderful Christians. Well, and we spent a lot of time together, and actually my wife grew up with the man as friends in the assemblies. And as we got older, things didn't, we started separating somewhat. We saw each other on occasions, and it was rare. It got rarer and rarer and rarer. And, they've got kids, and we've got kids, and now they've got grandkids, and we've got grandkids. And so it worked out that we were able to go on vacation together for a week, which we had done before up in Canada. But this time it was down Hilton Head, and I'm really thankful for that. And we had a fantastic reacquaintance with this couple. It was fantastic. It really was. They are a blessing to me. But the one thing I was thinking of was this fellow, he's extremely intelligent. He knows the Word of God. And we were actually on a little boat, ship. It wasn't a ship. It was a boat sightseeing for dolphins. And I hated paying this man to stand up there and tell me how evolution had changed the form of the dolphins and the Earth was billions of years old and things like that. So the man says, my friend, he's very bold, but he's not bold. Okay? He would never stand up in front of you and talk. He never would. But he reminded me so much of Gideon, I told him that. I said, you remind me of Gideon. You're a leader. You are willing to do whatever God wants you to do. And so the man on the boat asks, how old is the earth? And my friend immediately says, 6,000 years. And the guy looked at him like, huh? And he goes on to tell about evolution and all this other stuff and how dolphins had legs and everything. I know that's not real pertinent to the message, but my friend told me, he goes, you know, Bob, he says, one time I went around my neighborhood and I put tracks in all the mailboxes in my whole neighborhood. I said, man, Derek, that's fantastic. I said, it's great to see that, and the Lord can use it. And the Lord used tracks to speak to my dad, and my dad got saved that way. He says, but. I said, what do you mean, but? He says, I did it at night. We're going to see Gideon's very similar. He's willing to do it for the Lord, but I'm going to do it at night when nobody can see me. So hopefully this has been a bit of a blessing to all of us. Father, we thank you for your love and your total commitment to us. And we pray that you will help us to yield our hearts to you, that we will be totally committed to you. We fall short so often, so much, we wonder how you can be so patient and so merciful and still so kind to us. And yet you are. Help us to be like you. And that might mean more chiseling away, more molding. But Lord, deep down in our hearts, whatever it takes for us to be the men and women of God you want us to be, please help us to get there. We just thank you for this time and for this fellowship, and most of all for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, you are too.